Next Sunday, we're going to get back into our study in the book of Romans as we work our way verse by verse through that. Today, though, I'm going to pick a verse for you out of 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Now, taking a verse out of context can be a dangerous thing. We do it sometimes, don't we? We'll take a verse out of context and sometimes try to justify our actions or justify our words or justify our feelings or our plans or some such thing, and you need to know that that is dangerous. A text without a context can be a pretext, and you need to make sure that what you're doing is staying true to what the Bible really does say. Now, I say all that to say this. I'm treading lightly today, and I understand that because I am pulling one verse for you today and sort of pulling it out of its ultimate chapter context. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 deals with living the Christian life in a variety of settings. It's living the Christian life if you're unmarried. It's living the Christian life if you're married. It's living the Christian life if if you're married and you're happy about that. And I tell you the truth because it says it's also how to live the Christian life if you're married and you're not so happy about that. And how to live the Christian life if you're wanting to get married all over again. So all of those things are there tucked away in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and our verse lives within that context. And so I'm kind of pulling an application today out of that ultimate chapter context, but I want to stay true to the immediate context. Because what Paul is saying in this particular paragraph is this: for those who are married, serving the Lord takes on this kind of responsibility, and for those who are unmarried, serving the Lord takes on a different kind of personality. Well, I don't really want to get into your marital status today, and I certainly don't want to get into whether you're happy or not. That may be another time, another message for another day. But today, I do want us to explore your serving status. Where you are as a servant of the Lord. In fact, if you're already there in 1 Corinthians 7, look with me, if you will, down to verse number 35. This is what the Bible says. And this I say for your own profit, not that I may put a leash on you, but for what is proper, and that you may serve the Lord without distraction. It's that serving the Lord without distraction that really has gotten my attention. Yesterday, we had our first round of games and cheerleading with our Hoops for Him and got back there with the kids and doing their devotion time with them at halftime and asked them this question. When we pray, why do we bow our heads and close our eyes? You know, sometimes we might think about it. It's what we always do, right? No, that's not why we bow our heads and close our eyes. You could just as easily pray with your eyes wide open. You can pray looking around. If you're driving, then please, don't bow your head and close your eyes when you pray. And if you're out here during this Christmas holidays out around these roads, you better be praying while you're driving. Jesus said that there's two kinds of folks in the world, right? The quick and the dead. And that certainly comes true in traffic. But in this particular case, we get to this Bible verse, serving the Lord without distraction. I asked them, why do we pray? And they said, two reasons. And they're exactly right. Number one, to show respect, and number two, to limit distractions. That's why we bow our heads and close our eyes. But it's also the way that we want to live and the way that we want to serve. Respect and no distractions. Serving the Lord without distraction. Let's talk about that a little bit today. I want to share with you seven things today about your service that I think can come out of this particular verse. First of all is this: your serving is biblical. Your serving is biblical. That little phrase, serve the Lord, is found over 30 times in your Bible. Over 30 times. And I think of some of those that immediately come to mind. I think about Joshua declaring to that entire crowd, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know, I think about the psalmist singing out, serve the Lord with gladness, right? I think about Paul saying, whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not from men, knowing that from Him you will receive the reward, for you serve the Lord Christ. We serve Him. Not only is that phrase found in your Bible an awful lot, but there are other examples that you have in your Bible of those who are serving. I think about Martha, whom the Bible says was busy at serving. I think about other ladies that you find in the Bible who continually are serving, like Peter's mother-in-law. As soon as she was healed, the Bible says that immediately she got up and she served them. I think about the Apostle Paul opening up almost every one of his epistles by identifying himself as a servant of the Lord Jesus. We have those great examples that are there in our Bible. And then we've got this wonderful verse in Galatians where Paul says, in love, serve one another. So we serve the Lord and we serve one another, then that's something that we're called to do. And when we act that way, we are acting biblically. That's how we want to live, isn't it? We don't want to live arbitrarily. We don't want to live with our own design. We want to live with God's design that He has created us for. And at least, generally speaking, for every person that's in here, He has created us and called us to be servants for His own glory. So we want to do that, and when we obey Him, we're acting biblically. There's a second thing I want you to see when you look at that verse, and that is that your service is a blessing. When he says to serve the Lord without distraction, he's saying that we are to serve Him by serving others. When we do that, we're being a blessing to somebody else. Your service blesses other people. Your service is a blessing to other people. That means that you become a blessing to those people. In fact, you become a channel or a conduit through which God offers His grace and His mercy, His answers to their prayers through you. Isn't that neat? You become the answer to somebody's prayer by serving them, by blessing them, by honoring them. And you know what's really true? The person that you're serving, in all likelihood, does not deserve what you're doing for them. They probably don't. I could say this for sure. If you serve me, I don't deserve that. I don't deserve you taking time out of your day. I don't deserve you taking resources out of whatever pool you have. I don't deserve those things. The people that you serve, you're not doing that for them simply because they deserve that. You're doing that because you are acting in Christ's behalf. Therefore, you are blessing them in the way that He would bless them. And whether you understand it or not, He is blessing them through you. We want God to use us, don't we? We want to be used by Him, but we want to be used through Him. We want His life and His light to shine through us in the same way that the moon reflects the light of the sun. We want to reflect Him. The Bible says that people will see our good works, and then what will they do? They'll glorify our Father who's in heaven, not simply congratulate us. Listen, it's a blessing when you serve. It's biblical when you serve. Thirdly, your service is beneficial. Your service is beneficial, or it is a benefit. He opens that verse by saying this, and this I say for your own profit. See, it's not just the person that you're serving who gets the benefit. You get the benefit as well. He says, I say this for your own profit. It's not just the recipient who receives the blessing. You receive that as well. When you bless the Lord by serving Him and you bless the Lord by serving others, then He blesses you in return. How many times have you been to a hospital room to go visit somebody and you come away feeling like you think, you know, they've done more for you than you've done for them? That happens often, doesn't it? When you serve somebody else, you get a blessing in return. And the Bible says that your service is beneficial both now and forever. In fact, in the book of the Revelation, John says, and their works will follow them. He will remember in glory all of the things that you've done. But what you've done benefits you even right now. Maybe you say, well, how does it really benefit me? Am I going to get a pat on the back? Well, you might. Is somebody going to remember my name? And am I going to get a better reputation for it? Well, you might. That's not really why you're doing that, is it? By the way, if it is, then you're probably not going to receive the benefit that you really thought that you might. We'll get to that one in a minute. Let me give you a fourth one. Your service is not binding. It's not binding. Notice what he says in that very next phrase. This I say for your own profit, not that I might put a leash on you. Some translations say, not that I might cast a snare upon you. The word for put or cast, depending on the translation that you have, is really one to rope someone. We would say it this way, that I've been roped in, right? The picture is that of a rodeo cowboy who's chasing after the calf, and he ropes the calf all of a sudden, and then, you know, you make the calf do whatever it is that you want him to do. By the way, the word for snare or trap or leash is the word that we get our noose from. You know what? Some folks feel that way, don't they? Man, the church is always asking me to do something, and I feel like I've just got to do it. I feel like they've roped me in. I feel like I've been trapped. I feel like I've got a noose around my neck. Suddenly, I'm not doing these things because I want to. I'm doing these things because I feel like I have to. The blessing's not going to be found there. When I serve one another, it's not that I'm bound to that. True Christian service does not come about because somebody guilts you into serving, or simply because there's an opportunity that's there and nobody else is taking it that I might as well. Listen to me. We do far more damage not only to our church but to fellow church members when we begin to do things that God has not equipped and called us to do. That there are some of us who are such servants that we will pick up the load anywhere that load needs to be picked up. But there's somebody in our church fellowship who is designed, who is created by God, called by God to do those very things. Maybe it is sweeping a floor. Maybe it is running an audiovisual system. Maybe it is singing in a choir. Maybe it is teaching a class. Whatever it might be. If I take somebody else's spot, then number one, I'm not doing myself any good. Number two, I'm not doing the people that hear me do any good. And I'm not doing the person who gets to sit down and do nothing any good. It is not binding on you. Your service is voluntary. It's for me as an individual believer to understand how God has called and equipped me and to be able to put that gift, those resources, that strength and energy into whatever project it might be, and then to do it with all of my heart, and to do it as if that is by far the most important thing that ever needs to be done. You know, I do kind of like it sometimes when folks want to come and they want to go, you know, to our budget and they say, hey, I need some more money. We need some more money in this budget. Now, that line item over there, that one, that's not important to what I'm doing. That don't mean you're going to get any money, by the way. What it means is this. You believe that what you're doing is the most important thing that's going on. Now, I can do that in respect to everybody else and what they're doing. But I want to put effort into what God's called me to do, not because I have to, not because I've got a noose around my neck, but because I want to. Let's keep going. Let me give you a fifth one. When you serve, it's biblical. It's a blessing. It's a benefit. It is not binding on you. Your service is befitting. It's befitting. This verse continues simply by saying that this is what is proper. It's what's proper. It's what's normal. It's what's expected. In other words, it's not that this is an option for you because you've been hornswoggled into it. That's a good word, isn't it? But just because it's right. Just because it's the right thing to do. You ever served in an area and just knew immediately, that is not for me. That is not for me. Some of you are saying, that's the nursery. But you know what? There's somebody that's sitting over there and they're thinking, you know what? I wish somebody asked me to work in the nursery. Well, don't wait for them to ask. There's some babies. They can't ask you. They need you. Right? Whatever area it is, there's sometimes we serve in an area and we just don't feel comfortable. If you're serving in the giftedness that God has given to you, I'm not going to say that you're always comfortable, but I'm always going to say that it fits. It fits who you are. It fits what you can do. It fits when you trust the Lord with everything that you've got, and He's able to work through you. There's a sense of satisfaction and fulfillment that comes that will not come in any other way, no matter how many other things that you fit on top of that. You're looking for your place, your place where you fit. Listen, everybody in here has a place. God has brought you to this church. If you're a member here especially, if you're a member here, God has got you here for a reason. There is a spot that is needed for you. And it ought not satisfy your heart to know that 80% of the work is done by 20% of the people. I don't want somebody doing my work for me. I want to do that. God has created you. Find the thing that fits. You say, Tim, how do I do that? How do I, if I've never done it before, how do I know? Then do it. Just do it. Just pick something. Start with a nursery. All right? And then if you want to check that one off your list, then check it off and let's move on to something else. You want to check off the nursery, then move up to junior high and middle school. All right? You check that one off pretty quick and you'll move on too. Listen, there is a place that is fitting for you. It is befitting for you to serve. Let me give you one last one. It's also beautiful. Your service is beautiful. Last time our home group met, our home group talked about a project for a family that was in need. And what began as, you know, a few presents for the children turned into presents for the children, presents for the parents, food for the parents, cleaning supplies, and then actually going and cleaning at the place and moving stuff around. It became this big thing suddenly that ministered in the life of that family. And to just sit back, and what you're seeing is the church being the church. It's not the church sitting down here in the pep rally. It's the church getting in the game. And it is a beautiful picture to watch on those Saturday mornings when we meet together and we have breakfast and then we spend the rest of that Saturday morning just doing odd jobs around the church. It's a beautiful thing. It's the church being the church. In a few weeks when we begin our grow teams, and those grow teams meet and they'll meet here and they'll stay. Some will stay right here and they'll write some notes of encouragement. Some will make some phone calls. Some will send out some emails. Some will go visiting. They'll visit some people that have visited our church, people just like you. Some of them will go door to door. You know? May it never be said that somebody lives right here in the neighborhood of our church and says, you know what, I lived there for however many years and nobody from that church ever came and told me about Jesus. And it's the church being the church when they work together, when they serve together. And it is a beautiful thing. It is not beautiful when we fuss. It is not beautiful when we have tantrums. It is not beautiful when I want to get my own way. It is a beautiful thing when the church serves together and they're working together. So if we're going to do that, and if we're going to do it, as this says, without distractions, then there are a few things that we're going to need. Number one, we're going to need glasses. We're going to need some glasses. Glasses mean that we have focus. We'll need focus on what we're doing. It's not that we're just arbitrarily picking up a job here or there, giving out food to this person or giving something to this other person. We need glasses to be able to see. To be able to see what the needs are and to be able to see if those are genuine, real, legitimate needs and how we can help those things. By the way, there's a few more things that your face might need while we're talking about glasses. Your glasses may also need to have those blinders on them like horses have, you know, because we're serving how? Without distraction, right? Those horse riders put those blinders on those horses so that they don't see everything else that's going on around them. We need to be focused on what we're doing. If we can focus with our eyes, then we need to stay focused on that. That's why the writer of Hebrews says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We're looking at Him. We're looking at Him on the finish line. There's something else that wouldn't hurt us for our face, and that's for those glasses that have some blinders on them to not sit and rest on top of our ears, but to plug into them. It wouldn't hurt us to have some earplugs in, would it? I'll tell you what, the distraction of discouragement and just negativity, that doesn't help anybody, doesn't it? Does it? On the other hand, the person who's clamoring to be served, that's not helping anybody either. So I need some kind of glasses that I need. But we also need a goal. We need a goal, and I already know. I did flip-flop those, by the way, in your notes. I see some of you going, wait, what? And up top, they're going, what? He missed one. We need a goal. We need to make sure that if we're going to serve without distraction and that we're focused on Him, that we stay right in line with what that is, that that becomes our goal, serving Him. So what is the right kind of goal when it comes to service? Is it meeting people's needs? Well, that's a great mini goal on the way to the ultimate goal. Is it to make disciples? Well, in evangelism, that is the goal. But in service, that's a mini goal on the way to the ultimate goal. Is it so that our church, you know, our church is built? No, that's not the goal either. There's really only one goal that's right and proper, and that's the glory of God. Whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not to men. You serve the Lord Christ. We serve Him. They will see your good works and glorify who? Glorify you? No, they glorify your Father who is in heaven. It is the glory of God that becomes our ultimate goal. That's why we serve others. That's why we do. That's why we sing. That's why we preach. That's why we teach. That's why we look after babies. That's why we take care of youth groups. That's why we do whatever it is that we do. It's that God might be glorified in everything that we are and everything that we have. There's one last thing that we need. We need a goal. We need glasses. We'll need gloves. We'll need gloves. Listen, it's one thing for us to sit in here and talk about service. It's a whole nother measure to get out there and serve. It's one thing for us to rally around the idea of serving one another and serving one another in love. It is a whole nother measure to roll up your shirt sleeves and get busy and get dirty and do the work. Good intentions do not get things done. We have to act. It's not enough at the beginning of this brand new year to be able to say, I want to do something different with my life this year. I want to serve Christ more. I want to do this, I want to do that, whatever it is, you fill in the blank. You've got to do it. Gym memberships all over town are about to spike. And next month, they're going to have to mail their payment in, if you know what I mean. Listen, our service matters. It matters to the Lord. It matters to your church. It matters to a lost world. Mark asked this question a while ago. What might 2016 hold? What might God do at Britt David in 2016, add this to it. If I just